Hey, what's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William, the Opinion Update.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Hell yeah.
And we are quarantined up.
Absolutely.
But we're still bringing you that content.
100%.
5 days a week.
There's Clipper stuff going on.
There's Clipper stuff going on. There's Clippers adjacent stuff going on.
That's always.
That's gotta be discussed.
100%.
Up top, before we get into this one, happy birthday, Blake Griffin.
Yeah, happy birthday, Blake. We're going to probably talk about him in shavings, but we're recording this on Blake Griffin's birthday.
Yep.
However, this is the St. Patrick's Day episode.
So you'll be hearing this day after, but...
But yeah, what... do you have a favorite Blake memory?
Honestly, I was looking back at... thinking back at, like, the 2014 playoff run.
Okay.
The Warriors, and, like, he had multiple games of, like, 30-plus... And it just seemed, I don't know.
It seemed like it.
It was weird. Yeah, I mean, like.
I feel like that was a feeling that maybe the franchise had never had before.
Totally. And that was like, I mean, that was pinnacle playoff Blake. Like, I don't think he ever had, I think his career high in a playoff game was in game two or game three of that. He had like 35. But that was just like. It was still pre-point Blake, you know?
Yeah.
Which never really panned
never
out.
Never truly
as,
materialized.
As well as we thought it would. But it was like he was – the league hadn't changed enough yet where he was still like an unstoppable force.
For sure. That's a good call. I think the whole – just what he meant to the franchise is the most – all the dominoes that fell. I mean, the injury is absurd.
Yeah.
When it happened, I remember I read Bill Simmons did an article about the G League one year. Or not the G League, sorry, the Summer League one year. And he was talking about how Blake Griffin was like diving on the ground for loose balls. And he was like, this is something to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
And that always sticks out to me. I'm not even really the biggest Bill Simmons fan, but that always sticks out to me as like, I mean, you look at him in Detroit, he's a consummate professional. He's a guy that everyone I think roots for, except maybe the trainer he punched in the face. But no, hope Blake Griffin has a good birthday.
Yeah, hope he has a good birthday. I mean, he will always be a part
of how the Clippers got here.
Of Clipper Nation.
Like, for
that's,
sure.
That runs so deep. That's kind of inseparable. What would you think about Blake finishing his career as a Clipper?
I would love it.
I honestly would too.
Sign the one day or whatever. You know, like, yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
It might be sooner than later, which is unfortunate. You can't talk about Blake without kind of thinking about the injury luck.
I mean, it's looking bleak.
I think a lot of people would welcome him finishing his career with the Clippers.
100%. 100%. At whatever capacity that is.
100%.
Anyways, sorry to go on a long tangent there.
It happens.
On the intro.
It's quarantine, baby.
We got a heck of a show lined up for you, though. We're going to be talking Twitter Tuesday.
Yeah, there's still questions.
Yeah, every single Tuesday we take your questions on Twitter. We actually take them on Monday. That's at Locked On Clips, at Will Updike, at Charles Muckler. Anytime we'll be getting into those. We've also got a special. How do you want to intro this?
So it's St. Patrick's Day, the day you're listening to this episode. So neither of us had ever seen Luck of the Irish, which is a Disney Channel movie that is kind of in the millennial pantheon of Disney Channel movies, I guess.
Yeah.
Horrible film. We're going to talk about how it relates to basketball as a whole, how maybe any of the players in the movie could have helped the Clippers had they been real. There were a couple.
Yeah.
But that's what we're doing for the middle segment.
And then we're going to be wrapping up with some more shavings. We might be talking some more Blake. We got some other stuff rattling around in that shavings drawer. So stay tuned for all of that and more coming up now.
So welcome to Twitter Tuesdays. Clip Set's own Joseph Fry Award. Check out their podcast, him and Brian Cullen. Wants to know who our favorite Blake feud is with, because it is Blake's birthday. My favorite feud.
The water bottle.
It's the cup of water. It has to be with the Golden State Warriors fans as a whole.
Yeah.
The rift between Blake and the Warriors, there was a three that Blake airballed in a game against the Warriors.
Yeah.
And he absolutely bricks this thing. And the Warriors clown him. The bench clowns him. It's a pretty brutal clip to watch. As Bernie Sanders would say, go to the YouTube and check it out. But the fuel, like just the feud of the whole Bay Area seemingly versus Blake Griffin was my favorite.
Yeah.
Because he's a guy who was the face of a franchise. You know, we've seen the footage of him at those weird ass white parties.
Yeah.
Like,
definitely.
He was a young guy in
the weirdest time
in the weirdest time
like modern era to come
in. That players had been in before, but not with the exposure that there was.
Not with the exposure, and yeah, not under like a modern light. Also, I mean, just coming out of like being a number one draft pick and the magnitude that he had,
yeah,
that's still on a different level even than like the knucklehead stuff or like other other Clippers players.
And then
like,
you get hit with the injury.
Yeah, yeah, definitely a different magnitude. My follow up favorite would just be the Clippers versus themselves later on.
I was gonna say maybe Blake versus Steve. Because he says there's not a thing, but he didn't give him the pound that one time.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The pettiness, as a petty person, I can respect it.
Definitely. 100%.
Don't have to like it.
Don't have to like it.
Edie Bogoff, could be Eddie Bogoff, forgot the other D, and many others are wondering what happens with Noah's 10-day.
So
there's absolutely no way that his 10-day contract runs out because the league has been called off because of a pandemic.
Yeah, to the best of my knowledge.
It's not like those are like not like.
To the best of my knowledge, it wouldn't affect it. I think that'll be up to the league as to how that actually works. How does it work? Like, are you?
It's got to cut off at the last day that the league played.
Yeah, right?
It has to do that.
Yeah, I would think so.
There's no way that they're like, well, technically your 10-day contract is up because it's been 10. That'd be an NFL move.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
I mean, it has been 10 days.
Yeah. They'd just be giving you the like, sir, it's technically against the law, so I have to call the police. At JSounds2154L, a.k.a. Black Thor, fantastic Twitter name, asks if the Clippers have the best role players in the league. Up there.
Up there for sure, yeah.
In the championship tier.
Yes.
Of role players, I would say. The Bucks are obviously up there.
Yeah, I mean,
they have fantastic role players.
I guess I would have put the Nuggets in there, too. They just have, like, they've made a lot out of pieces that, you know, like, that they've kind of homegrown.
Yeah.
They don't have a G League affiliate, and they somehow, like, mine great talent.
That's wild that they don't have a G League affiliate.
Yeah. Huh. So I would definitely put them up there.
Well, based on this, I hope they never get one.
The
Clippers, well, we kind of talked about the midseason acquisitions on yesterday's pod.
Yeah.
And the Clippers are definitely in the conversation for best role players.
For sure. It gets a little bit difficult to parse out just because even on the bench, it's a little bit top heavy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, like we have, you know, we have guys playing upwards of 20 minutes off the bench. So
yeah.
It's like, what even is a... Other than Kawhi and PG, is everyone else just a role player?
I mean,
you know what I mean?
That is a valid argument. And if you're including if you're including those guys in the pantheon of quote unquote role players, then yes.
Yeah, everyone else other than them is a role player. And so I think we absolutely are maybe ahead of there. At Ferdy Q wants to know if we think the break is a blessing in disguise for the Clippers and even the league. Every player should be fully recovered, and once the season starts back up, Giannis and Embiid, Simmons will all be back at full form. PG's hamstring may be fully healed, too. I will say this. His hamstring is going to be 100% healed. Don't put that evil on it, that after this break, it won't be healed.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because we were definitely in that point of the season post-All-Star break where I do feel like you see fatigue start to set in a lot more.
Yeah, I think there was some talk about maybe Bev not being totally 100%.
Yeah.
I still say that Memphis loss is why we had to play everyone against the Knicks, and that's why certain injuries got re-aggravated.
Definitely, definitely. And it's like the thing where knocks start to turn into something a little bit more serious.
Knocks turn to tweaks.
Or nags turn to knocks.
Yeah, which turns to sore, which turns to sprain, which turns to pull, whatever.
Which turns to just a full-on amputation.
Yeah. Yeah, it turns into lopping that whole arm off. No, I think the break is great for the Clippers. If you look at the year the Clippers have had, this break, I don't know. It's horrible circumstances.
This is going to be,
but an injury-plagued team, obviously a break is a benefit. It feels weird, and I don't necessarily like saying it. No disrespect to the question at all, because it's a fair question.
Yeah, it's a great question. My only argument against it would be, we've talked about continuity all year, and if the team isn't allowed to practice in this time, and you have guys you know, who are obviously going to be in the gym working hard, but like working on an individual skill set is different. I guess they can watch a lot of film, which I'm hoping a lot of people do.
I'm hoping for FaceTime film sessions.
Yeah, yeah. I think that would be awesome. But that's the only drawback I can see is that, you know, it's not like they're getting full team practices in.
100%.
I mean, yeah, yeah, so far in this suspension.
Do you think Doc is just leaving voicemails on guys' phones?
Probably.
He's just watching old film.
Yeah.
At He's Still Talking with a very Will Updike-centered question. If every current Clipper was a wine, what wine would they be? We don't have to do every current Clipper, but maybe give us your top three. And then alternatively, if every Clipper era was a wine, okay, this is too much. Alternatively, part two, replace wine with either question with beer. So what's Kawhi as a wine? You know more about wine than I do.
Kawhi as a wine.
I can identify reds and whites based on eyesight, but that's about it.
Kawhi to me is a Pinot Noir.
I'll take your word for it.
Pinot Grape is notoriously...
It's Pinot Grape?
Yeah, the Pinot.
Okay.
It, what do you want? It's a grape.
Pinot's a funny sounding, you know.
Notoriously one of the hardest grapes to grow. It has a thin skin, which I don't
know if that's true about Kawhi at all.
I think that maybe he disengages.
Okay.
He distances himself to keep from getting hurt, you know?
Damn. But the... Whoa, this just got deep.
The grape... it doesn't do well in cold climates. Hence, Toronto did not work out.
I mean, he won a Finals MVP and they won a championship.
But he left.
Okay.
It's also like my daily driver wine. Like, that's like my go-to.
I don't think you should be using wine and driving metaphors. Lumped into the same.
No, daily driver is a reference to a club, not.
Okay.
It is.
Okay.
It's a reference to a club, ahead, not go, to a car.
Go ahead and drive yourself to that golf course. Have that daily driver line you're having. Go ahead and drive on home.
So Kawhi's definitely like a mid-price Pinot Noir. It's great. It's
mid-price. Wow. Okay. What?
There's not a lot of fanfare about it.
Okay. I guess I can see.
You know
that.
What I mean?
I don't know enough.
It's
really.
Like, it's a great wine, but it's not like people. I feel like it's a little underappreciated.
Okay, I like that. Yeah, I like that take on it. What, man, this could be a whole segment. What's Bev real quick? Because this seems like a hard one.
Oof. Bev, oof. I see Bev as maybe being, like, kind of an intricate blend a little bit. Like, maybe like a Bordeaux. And the thing is
that it's... Of course.
It's... I mean, it's the coalescence, right?
Man, I'm going to hurl myself out the window.
And I think that because if you're just looking at one part of Bev's stat line, or if you're looking at one part of Bev, you're missing the whole picture.
Wow.
I kind of see him being something like that.
Hats off. That was I don't know anything about wine. Let us know if you agree with that. That was a great... Good call. We're gonna have
PG is a Chardonnay, a very oaky, bold Chardonnay.
We're gonna pick. Look, we're gonna pick this up. We're gonna pick this up definitely at some point because we got a lot of episodes to fill. Everybody, real quick.
If you like wine content, let us know.
Yeah. Our last question is from our favorite ball coach, Coach Dave. He says August is a pretty busy work season for me. What's the best way I can tell my boss I need to miss some time for the championship parade?
I love this question. I love this.
Shout out Coach Dave. I would say, I'd say you threw your back out helping lift up pallets, you know, just to send off care packages.
I like that.
That's a dirt ball move, though, on my part. And I don't think Coach Dave is a dirt ball, so he might not use that.
My thing is, so there's a little known secret. You can go
it's
to
a secret that makes sense. It's a little known.
There are some chiropractors that you can visit and you can be like, oh, I have chronic soreness. And they'll be like, oh yeah, sure. You got chronic soreness. I'll write you a letter for that. And then your employer, you have a reason.
There you go.
Or I would just describe.
I mean, it's probably going to be on a weekend though, right? So I feel like he doesn't really have to, I don't know what his job is. I will say, I'm assuming he's a coach of some kind.
I was going to say, is he a coach?
But not all sports play on Saturdays.
That's true.
Let us know your work schedule, Coach Dave.
Yeah.
And we'll map you out a plan for August.
Yeah. I mean, you could just use the classic Charles Mockler. I can't work today. I'm drunk.
Yeah, you're drunk. It's like I'm in a bar. What do you want me to do? I used to work at a restaurant, and anytime they would call me and say, hey, we need you to come in, I would say, no matter what I was doing, I'd say, I'm at a bar. And they can't ask. It's such a horrible situation. Anyway, that's a little trick from Uncle Chuck. That wraps up for Twitter Tuesdays. Thank you so much for the questions. One more time, shout out Joseph Fry Award. Check out the clips at Pod. Coming up after this, we're breaking down the luck of the Irish. Honestly, a bit of a miss on a movie choice.
St. Patrick's Day special.
We're going to get into the St. Patrick's Day special right after this.
Okay, so...
Look, this movie was talked to me about as if it was kind of... This was a Disney movie I'd heard of. I didn't watch the Disney Channel growing up.
Cool guy over here.
I didn't choose to watch the
Mr. Not Tough watch, Guy
yeah,
over
that's
here.
That's what it was. I didn't have the Disney Channel growing up. You want me to say it?
No,
you want to break me down?
I actually didn't
I'm
have
scared,
it. I didn't
right?
have it either.
But Luck of the Irish was talked about as like kind of a Disney Channel, one of those movies.
Its name even came up in the press room, I believe, at one point.
It did. So if you haven't seen this movie, it's about a kid whose family is hiding the fact that his mom is a leprechaun. And his grandfather lives in the town. He is the inventor of the potato chip.
Yeah.
And he's upset that his mother married a man who is not a leprechaun. There's a bunch of very weird lines about not being with your own. It's very odd.
Yeah.
Anyway, smash cut to the kid is very lucky. He has a lucky gold coin around his neck.
Yeah.
He plays basketball for the team.
The Soaring Eagles.
The amulet gets stolen by this other Irish guy who's like a bad leprechaun. He wants to be the king of the leprechauns. Long story short, the kid has to end up playing the older man who takes the form of junior high school kids in the state championship game for the amulet. He learns you don't necessarily need all the luck to be good, beats the guy anyway, banishes him to Cleveland, where his family says they're from, through a game of basketball. First off, there is so...
If this sounds confusing, that's because it is.
There is so little basketball in this movie.
It's truly disappointing.
The movie has an 87-minute runtime. I'd clock the basketball scenes at a cool 3:35.
There's one of the craziest blocks in basketball history at the beginning of this movie where he blocks a shot that then goes into the hoop.
Directly. Yeah, so the first question of this movie, because we're going to maybe break down some other basketball movies, was basketball portrayed well in this movie? And I have to say no.
Well, we were talking about this a little bit beforehand, but I think we both appreciated the aggressive defenses employed by the high school coaches.
So it's junior high, I think.
Oh, yes. It is junior high.
It's junior high.
But the kid also might be 15 years old.
It's all over the goddamn place. Both, no matter what game the footage was from, very aggressive traps.
Yeah.
Like three players it was a three-person trap on whoever the ball handler was.
Yeah.
And it caused a lot of turnovers.
Yes.
This high school division didn't strike me as exactly a powerhouse within the state.
No, the jerseys weren't nice enough.
And they're really... So the main character's career, because he has this lucky gold coin.
Yes.
The Irish thing.
Yeah. And he's never had to try in anything. He hasn't, because
he's had the gold necklace the whole time.
Yeah, so he's not immediately an empathetic character, this Kyle.
No, his friend comments on it about how, all of us think you're lucky because you have this gold necklace.
Yeah.
And the first representation of basketball that you see is... the game, the quarterfinals, they win, they're down one, he dives out of bounds to save a ball from going out of bounds, he hits it and it goes into the hoop and they win.
Oh, that's what it is. It's not a block, it's a dive for a loose ball.
And this is apparently something that happens all the time, because there's multiple times in the movie when they talk about, you always make the lucky shot.
Yeah.
He's always finding money. The kid, like I said, his friend literally says, we all think you're lucky because of that gold coin.
Yeah.
And he's like, nah, you guys are so stupid. But he is. His whole career is a lie.
Does not have to practice shooting. I mean, his field goal percentage
seems to be 100%. The basketball is not portrayed well in this movie. Do you have any other points about the a ball does get blocked into a kid's face, which is funny.
Yeah.
That's accurate.
He tries a lot of terrible layups.
He
gets blocked hard when the luck runs out.
Absolutely. When the luck is out. Well, was it there in the first place? The other question we have for this movie, would any of the people in this movie, had they been real characters, been able to play for the Clippers? I actually think a couple.
Yeah. Okay. So what do you got?
There is a character who goes by the name of Drake. He's only in the movie for like, I don't know, when any time there needs to be kind of a conflict.
But he has the hot hand in the semifinals.
Yeah. The main character has one bad game.
Yes.
And it's the semifinals. The finals where, of course, the male leprechaun bodies are transformed into the junior high kids.
Adult men. Yeah.
But the kid can still understand that it's the older men and compete against them along with his friend. Them.
Yeah.
Anyway. No, Drake, when he has a hot hand in the semifinal, he's an active guard. Like, he gets a steal on a clip. He makes a couple nice passes. He gets a board. And then he also, he hits like a nice corner three with a hand in his face.
Mm-hmm.
And I think is maybe a third string piece the Clippers could have. Like, he seems like a kid that probably went to a small school, but definitely was like the third highest scorer in school history. Like, where everyone's like, wow, that was so cool. He's not number one, but man, it's a weird small school. Like a Chris Clemens, if you will.
Yes.
He reminded me of a Chris Clemens type player. And then the other one I had was his friend, the main
Russell.
The main character's friend, Russell.
Who, I, you know,
sucks ass for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, he gets good at the end, but I feel like it's through hard work and determination and just good old-fashioned believing in himself. And, you know, you love to see that in any prospect.
He looked like a Westbrook-type player when he started doing that. He was slashing. He was getting to the rim.
Yeah.
There was a lot of good kind of, you know, foot-on-the-gas offense from him, which I appreciated.
Yeah, definitely. I think under the tutelage of a Patrick Beverley, he could be looking at a future.
He'd be great. It was almost, Derek Walton-esque, I would say.
Yeah.
Like a guy who made all the right plays, but maybe wasn't in the right situation.
Definitely.
But we'll get to it. Don't watch this movie.
Yeah, we actually watched Double Team, on Disney Plus.
Really, way better.
Far better basketball movie. It also like gets a little tangenty, but good.
The
solid.
Basketball is worse. So the basketball, like, ability wise, other than the absurd tip in shots, the basketball was, I would say, well, kind of portrayed.
So I'm gonna.
There were no dunks.
I'm gonna credit that to the editors because they looked That's at fair. That footage when they first shot it and they're like, "This looks like absolute dog shit."
Oh, I have to give them credit for this. There's very high in the movie, so everyone's middle schoolers. Everyone is like, oh, he can touch the rim?
Yeah.
That's like a very large point in the movie.
Yes.
That was an accurate portrayal of what middle school basketball is like.
Oh, 100%.
Being able to touch the rim, making you king of the hill, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any other notes on this movie?
There's some pretty funny compositing with the mother who, like, apparently when you're a leprechaun, you're small enough to fit in, like, a shirt's front
You're, like, two
pocket.
Inches tall.
So there's some great miniature work there.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's very heavy-handed, the Irish had it hard coming to this country.
Ooh, it's...
Which,
it
look, I'm an
not,
Irish I'm an Irish American. Well. But anytime someone's talking about it too much, you're like, whoa, what's your angle here, buddy? let us know what you think of... Luck of the Irish, let us know. Oh, where does this movie rank in your basketball movies tierdom?
Oh, lower, the bottom.
Gotta be the lowest.
Yeah.
Borderline not a basketball movie.
I would say not really a basketball movie.
Let us know what basketball movies you think we should watch. Maybe think of Love and Basketball for a different aspect.
Ooh.
Sixth Man.
Yeah.
Thunderstruck.
Definitely.
We got some time.
Yeah.
And guests probably don't want to come hang out in the quarantine studio.
And we can go any number of ways with this. We can go actual good basketball films. We can keep going weird tangential ones.
I think it's just what ones we haven't seen. Anyway, let us know. At Locked On Clips. At Locked On, I got Charles Mockler. Coming after this, we got some Lou Will updates and Snoop Dogg respects the Clippers.
All right. So, shavings. Time to open up the drawer.
Oh, what's in there?
What is in there?
Hope some food. So Lou Will, this is just funny. Lou Will posted on his Instagram story that he's won Monopoly four nights in a row at his house.
Yeah. Is this against his daughters?
Dude, I don't know who it is. Do you think they're playing regular Monopoly or like a speed version of Monopoly?
It looked like regular Monopoly.
Dude,
Monopoly
he had like all the properties. Like, Jesus.
Aren't there power rules where you can like, where... things aren't as strict about you putting the hotels and stuff on.
Well, so
like
my friend has my friend's family has a rule where you buy whatever you land on.
Oh, you have to buy.
You have to buy whatever you land on. And if you don't, everyone, you bid on it. But no, from the look of his Instagram story, I was like, dude, Lou, you're put like, this is an early in the quarantine phase, and you're already having to play Monopoly? Monopoly is, I'm a child
of He's got a good-looking Monopoly set, though.
Of course he does. I don't care how look.
Custom.
I don't know if it was custom. If it was custom, it would have wood. If it was custom, every property would be a different Lou Willville party.
Yeah, that's fair.
And it'd be like, oh, the 96 Lou Willville is obviously bored. I don't know how far it goes back. But no, Monopoly is truly the last thing I'm reaching for during this self-quarantine phase.
Yeah, I mean, we're not really big board game guys.
I mean, so I like, checkers and I like simple man games. You know, I like cribbage and
my dog's playing checkers over here.
I'm playing checkers over here while y'all idiots play chess. But no, Monopoly is one of the last things I'm reaching for.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I hate Monopoly. Monopoly Go, on the other hand, is a very fun game.
I hope his
Monopoly Deal, whichever one the card game is.
I don't know. I hope his kids beat him, and I hope Lou Will freaks out, like flips the table.
Good for him, though. Shout out Lou Will. Patrick Patterson.
Dude, oh, this one depressed me.
So he posted a story about being reminded of how broke he is because Cristiano Ronaldo bought an island.
Yeah, their family, that's where him and his family are quarantining.
Oh, okay.
An island that he bought.
I mean, seems like a solid place to quarantine.
I'm assuming it's a developed island, which, like, who's trying to offload an island during a pandemic? Seems like you're definitely taking a loss.
I mean, that's a good call.
Right? No, this bummed me out because this made me feel even more broke than I am. Like watching Patrick Patterson be like, oh man, yeah, I'm always broke. I'm like, you're like, God damn, dude. You're doing all right, Pat.
Yeah, Pat's doing great. I got to be honest. I don't think money's real.
I don't know how it works anymore. I used to think that 20 ounce Coca-Cola's cost $1 and that you had a 1 in 5 chance of winning another one on the cap, which basically means that most of the time Cokes cost 50 cents.
Yeah.
Now they're giving the stock market $1 trillion.
And it's not, it's just putting numbers in a computer.
Give me the computer.
Yeah.
What kind of computer do I got to buy? Do you think Patrick Patterson would buy an island or a ski hill first?
I don't know him to be a skier.
I don't know him to be an island guy.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, he has spoken about islands, so I'm assuming he has an affinity for them.
That's fair. He did play in Oklahoma, which is a little flat, so maybe the skiing didn't really. Well, that's another topic for another day. and then the final thing we're going to close with here, Snoop Dogg in the quarantine madness had some nice things to say about the Clippers. He said
he's flip-flopped on this team.
He's flip-flopped 100%. He says he wears Kawhi sweatsuits, which who doesn't?
I don't.
Go ahead and
own one.
I need to order a couple for this quarantine. I need to get comfortable. He says Kawhi doesn't get rattled. He had kind words for Patrick Beverley too. How long before he's a Clippers fan?
Well, he really commended the team last year in the playoff run.
Yes.
When
we're not threatening the fragile ecosystem that is the team across the hall.
Definitely. And
the delicate.
That's understandable to me.
Oof. That's fair. I guess I only pay attention to the other team's fans when they're being outright disrespectful towards us.
Yeah, for sure.
Other than that, I don't hear them.
For sure. But I can like understand the other side, I guess, like being caught up in... You know,
and
like
he's a lifer.
The legacy and yeah. I
like
mean,
he's a number, you know, he's been, yeah. Yeah. He's 87 years old. He's a Lakers fan.
Yeah. He's also like so much older than me. So I'm like, yeah, I mean, I guess you're pretty set in your ways. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not going to change.
It's like all old people aren't very flexible.
I'm not changing Snoop Dogg's views on anything, I don't think. Anything else in the Shavens drawer?
Nah, we got to wrap this up.
Okay, but let us know what movie you guys want us to watch. We're going to have guests on when, you know, things work out quarantine-wise. We don't know what's going on. Hope everyone's washing their hands.
Stay washing your hands.
Stay washing your hands.
You know, Watch your chickens and your mentals.
Yeah, watch your mentals. Please watch your mentals. If you're working from home, work out every 30 minutes or something. Do some
work out every 30 minutes?
Just do some jumping jacks. Get the blood flowing, gotcha. You know? Okay. Like, it can all get right. weird when you're working from home. Thank you so much for hanging out. We're here 5 days a week.
That's right.
Still through the coronavirus. You can find us at iTunes, Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Yes.
Leave
Please.
A review.
Leave a rating. Leave a review. Subscribe if you haven't already. We really appreciate it.
Wednesday's episode, we're going to be doing What You Say Wednesday. You can look out for that poll question on at Locked On Clips. We're going to be talking NBA-themed video games and where these specialized ones went away, a la the Jordan versus Bird games for the old Nintendos, all those kind of old, fun, niche games. Whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Appreciate you.